Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord for this wonderful privilege I have to speak His precious word. Now, His word is truth. His word is powerful. And I tell you, His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does divide the soul and the spirit, joint and marrow. It does give us discerning of the very secret intent and thought of our heart. It lets us see ourselves. It is a mirror. It is the looking piece. And as we look at it, we obey it, we're honest about it, we can correct error of our ways. And we can walk in newness of life. We that are saved, we do walk in newness of life. But as we look into perfect law of liberty, as we look into God's word, His commandments, His way, His statutes, and we obey those, and we try to follow in the way that God would have us to go and to lead, we follow His leadership, then we're going to be blessed, and we're going to have a great joy that He wants to give all of His children. He said, I want your joy to be full and have life and have it more abundantly. And so He gives abundant life. He gives everlasting life, which He gives all of His people. But there's some of His people that have the abundant life, that their joy is full because they've given their life to God. They've totally turned it over, their whole heart and life, and just to please God, putting Him first. And everything else is added, laying up their treasures in heaven, not trying to build up themselves anything here, but trying to build up their treasure in heaven. In other words, just trying to please Him, the Lord, because they love Him, not because they feel like they got to, or out of just great fear. I fear the Lord. I respect Him. I'm not afraid of what men can do unto me. I mean, we all have some natural fears, but I know who's in control. I know that nothing can happen unless God permits it. But I serve Him by reverence. I fear Him through that way because I love Him. And I want to follow Him. And that's what He wants us to do, is to put Him first in our life. And when we do, then we'll have the abundant life. And we'll have the blessings. Just like He said, a man that He talked about, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And this man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall reap in due season. He talked about that. He should have be blessed, and the branches would be strong, and the birds and all the other things can come and lodge underneath it because the tree is strong. It's blessed and it gives a shade and so forth. And he said the man that pleases the Lord, the one that tries to put God's first in their life, then they're going to have this be the one of the blessed ones. He talked about that, the Beatitudes. It talked about blessed are those, that all types of things there, that we love God and we try to please Him. We are blessed, but you need to go on and read that. And I tell you in the Gospels, and it's good to know that we're blessed. We that are saved, we're blessed. We know God. And there's different degrees and stages of sanctification and joy. And the things that God gives His people, and He wants to give it to everyone. But it's those that pay the price. It's ones that are forsaken their own wants and desires and dreams, and they've left it aside and put God first. And then God gives us what we need. He blesses us. He gives us the love of Him. He gives us love for others. He blesses us in so many different ways, and we're to put Him first, and we don't lose anything that we need. He just blesses those that trust Him. And I tell you, when you do that, you are satisfied. You are satisfied. You're not looking for anything else. You're not looking for pleasures for sin for a season. That's what's in the flesh. When a person that is saved and trying to please God, they are satisfied because they're trying to give their life to Him. And He satisfies us. So He wants to satisfy you today. He wants to deal with your heart. He wants to save you today. If you've never been born again, you've never been saved. And I tell you, the way is made. The price is paid. Jesus has already died. He already left the splendor of heaven. He already came down to the sin-cursed world. The Bible said, born of a virgin, made under the law. The Bible said, God got in man. Because a body, there had to be a body that was prepared It had to be a body to die, to be the sacrifice, and to be crucified for mankind's sin. And so Jesus, Bible said, came. And his seed came from above. It didn't come from earthly man. This man was sinless. Jesus was sinless because his seed came from above. His body came from his mother. And he lived a godly life. He was God in flesh. He came to this world to die, to be a sacrifice, and to give up his life and just lay it down. No one took it. He gave it, that all that would come unto him could be saved. He said he died for the entire world. Now, the entire world's not going to be saved. There's very few that's going to get saved compared to the multitude of people. The Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and very few that find it. But broad is the way that leads unto destruction, and many go in thereat. And there's many that are going to die in sin and go to hell. It's going to be just a small in a number that gets to heaven, because the Bible said they don't want their evil deeds to be reproved. They don't want to be preached to. They don't want to hear the gospel. The Bible said they want to live and of the world. They want to love the world. They want to run in the world. And they don't want no one to tell them any differently. They don't want no one to preach against sin. They just want to live loosely. And that's the way of the flesh, but it's not the way of God. It's the way of sin and Satan and foolishness and ungodliness and abomination to the Lord. I tell you, there's a lot going on today. And we're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times shall come. And the Bible said men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I tell you, we're living in that time. A man loves himself. He puts self first. He don't consider anyone else. He don't have time for no one else. And I tell you, he's going about trying to undo, trying to just to be lifted up above everyone else, and not thinking of how rotten and vile he really is, or what she really is. And they're running about. They just love themselves. I mean, they just talk about themselves. They lift themselves up. And that's the spirit of the world. That's the way of the world. It's not the way of God. And it's not the way a child of God ought to be. A child of God ought to be humble. A child of God ought to be loving and kind and have the mind of Christ. They're not to be puffed up and lifted up and having just a tongue that lashes out, a tongue that shoots forth and destroys that is before it. The Bible said we're not to do that, but we're to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And we're to be kind and long-suffering to people. It doesn't mean that we should let people take advantage of us. It doesn't mean that we're not to rebuke those that are unruly, that come against us or stand our ground. We ought to, but there's a way that we to handle ourselves and be strong and wise in the Lord and do what we need to do and speak up when we need to speak. But there's times where we just need to learn to be silent. We don't need to say anything. Just leave it with God, and He'll take care of these type of things. But we're to be wise and see the enemy, know what Satan's doing and how he's using, and looking on people, knowing that it's really not them, but it's Satan that's using them. And he has his angels, he's got his demons, and he's got his people out there. And he's coming forth to destroy. He would have already destroyed God's people. He'd already destroyed me if he could have. But see, we got a seal about us. We got a protection about us. We're kept by the power of God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And Satan, if he could, he would take my soul to hell. But he can't, because it's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Cleanse me from all sin. That's what cleanses you. And I'm saved and I'm justified because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in Him. I'm justified now because of that. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary. My righteousness is because of His righteousness. I am righteous because He's righteous. Because He took my place. He bore my sin. He took my shame. And He died on the cross for my sin and for your sin. That we would be made the righteousness of God in Him. So I've been made righteous because of what he did, not what I did, not what I could do, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't justify myself. I was lost, hell-bound, a sinner, couldn't help myself whatsoever. But thank God he loved me enough, even while I was yet sinner, he died for me. Just before, just you as well, before we were, I mean, just when we were dead in trespasses and sin, we didn't think about God, we didn't love God, we loved self, we wanted to please self, we didn't consider him whatsoever, but he died for us. He foresaw and knew us before we entered our mother's womb, and he knew, but he loved us enough to die for our sin and to take our place, that we wouldn't have to die in sin and go to hell. So he paid an awful price for sin. He went up Golgotha's hill. He laid down his life. He went to Calvary to die for sinners. They already beat him to a pulp. They pulled every bone out of joint. No doubt they beat him. They plucked his beard. They spit in his face. They beat him so bad that you couldn't recognize him. His vices were so marked that any man, you couldn't recognize him. He was pulled and jerked and yanked and no doubt starved to death. There he was suffering. And he opened not his mouth. He could have called the angels to come and get him, and he could have bailed out. He could have said, I'm not going to do this. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he saw it and knew his bitter cup. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's because he loved the Father, and knowing that he loved us. He loved us enough to die and to take our place. And so we owe him our heart. We owe him our life. We that are saved, our whole being. And I tell you today, you sinner today, he died for you. He took your place. And if you die in sin and go to hell, you will go to hell as an intruder. The Bible said hell wasn't created for you and me. It was created for the devil and his angels. But all that reject the Son of God, all that don't have time, and all that says maybe another time, like some says, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. I don't read where this man ever had another convenient season. It's not convenient. It's not at the time where it just feels good to you. The flesh don't want. It wants to run its way. But you must come, set everything, to put everything aside. Like one man said, and the Bible said, he talked about there was a man that planted, no doubt he prepared a great supper. And no doubt this is a wedding here. And no doubt he began to tell his servants and those that were there to go out and to, he said, bid those to come to the wedding and so forth. And so they began to bid some to come. And some said, I can't come right now. It's not convenient. I've just married a wife. Another one said, it's not convenient. I bought a field. I must go and take care of it. And one said, I just bought a yoke of oxen and I've got to prove them. And so it wasn't convenient for them. And so they've lost their soul. It wasn't convenient for those 10 virgins. But it was 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. And the wise had oil in their lamps. And so they made provision. But the 5 foolish, it wasn't convenient for them to go and be prepared to meet the bridegroom when he comes. And so when they came, they were left behind. And those that came unto the supper here, he said they didn't come. So he said, go out in the hedges and the byways and poor and the lame, call them and bid them to come. He said, call the poor and cause them to come. He said, they're all here and there's still plenty of room. He said, go out in the hedges and byways, compel them to come in to my house. And so there was one that came in without the wedding garment. He said, why do you not have the wedding garment on? And the man was ashamed and he left and he lost his soul. You must be prepared to meet God. You must come unto him and you must be willing and ready to forsake all that you may have be saved today. It's very simple. And all you got to do is cry out to him. Repent. Call on him. Have mercy. Jesus, oh my soul, come into my heart and save me. If you really mean it, confess your sin. He'll save you. My time's come and gone. And God bless you in Jesus' precious name. And amen.